The federal government is running out of money for pandemic treatments, testing, and vaccines. And last week, Congress failed to reach an agreement on spending more for those necessities. Even though COVID cases are falling nationally, there is a rise in Europe, and many experts are calling for better preparation before another wave potentially hits. We want to explore what the next pandemic funding means for our ability to respond to the next wave or variant. Joining us is Rachel Kors. She's a reporter with our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Rachel, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. So $15 billion in pandemic funding was floated, but Democratic arguments killed it. Can you tell us more about what this funding would be used for?
Sure. So the White House asked for this funding to buy more things like, you know, antiviral pills, like monoclonal antibody treatments and vaccines if they need another round of boosters in the future, and of drugs to help bolster the immune systems of immunocompromised people. So, you know, there's a lot of tools that they're hoping to buy, but they've run out of money.
So could this funding be taken up in a separate bill then?
It could, but in Congress, you know, it's always a better bet to attach something to a larger package that's moving fast and really has to pass. And once they lost that opportunity with a big government funding bill that really had to pass to avoid a government shutdown, the politics get more complicated. More lawmakers want to add things in. Like, it just becomes politically more difficult to do it on its own. Mm-hmm.
In fact, you quote epidemiologist Michael Osterholm of the University of Minnesota. He says that, quote, waiting to pass the funding would be like buying fire trucks as the 911 calls come into the fire station. Help us understand the biggest impact of not passing this money.
The White House has explained that when you're buying some of these treatments, you have to purchase them ahead of time for them to be delivered, you know, a few months away. So right now, you know, the case trends in the U.S. are looking pretty good, but there is a concern about a future variant, about a future surge. And if we wait to, like, write the contracts and sign those, the delivery, you know, is pushed out several months. And we saw this kind of play out with testing in the Omicron surge, where a lot of the tests were delivered after the peak had already, you know, kind of passed. So I think they just want to be able to plan ahead and make sure they have the tools on hand when they need them.
What are some of the arguments against providing this spending, Rachel?
There is actually some pretty broad agreement among lawmakers that these tools need to be purchased. But the question is how they're going to be paid for. So some Republicans, you know, want to make sure that of the other, like, more than $4 trillion of COVID-19 relief funding is repurposed. It gets really difficult when you're taking money back that you already gave out, sort of, or you already promised people. State and local governments had kind of thought they were going to get some of this funding that leadership had tried to claw back. So I think it just becomes difficult to figure out how to pay for this. But I think ultimately there is pretty broad understanding that there are lawmakers who recognize the need.
So you mentioned that COVID cases are way down. Tell us more about the reporting you've done on the increases of cases in Europe and specifically the sister variant of Omicron that's emerging.
Experts are looking at trends in the United Kingdom, in, you know, other countries in Europe, also, you know, some countries in Asia too, and seen, you know, some concerning trends. And I think a larger proportion of those cases are this new sister variant to Omicron, which, you know, does appear to be similar to Omicron in that, you know, it's fairly mild for an individual who, you know, might get sick. But, you know, if there's just another wave of illness, I think there's huge, you know, concerns with what we just saw with the Omicron wave that, you know, has largely passed in the U.S. right now. So I think there's definitely experts who are sounding the alarm about what's to come.
So just to be clear, is the sister variant of Omicron as concerning as Omicron and Delta?
I think it's hard to know exactly how it's going to play out. And we do have significantly more, like, population immunity now because so many people got sick this last round. But I think experts are warning that we want to prepare for it to be a significant burden again.
So you talk about population immunity. We've heard for a while now that this COVID pandemic will become endemic, that we'll see waves every year the same way that we see flus or colds go around. Give us a comparison. Do we spend as much preparing for the flu season? Is that even a fair comparison?
It's not necessarily a fair comparison because we don't know how similar the next variant could be to the flu. So at some point, these investments could pay off. We may not have to be investing so much every year, but experts, the White House, are saying right now is not that time.
That's Rachel Kors, reporter with our partners at STAT, the Health and Medicine publication. She's in Washington. Rachel, thank you so much.
Yes, thanks so much. I appreciate it.